Hey everybody, my name is Kenny Spade. I am one of the local developer evangelists here out of Mountain View, so had a quick trip over here this morning and when we were doing kind of the prep and everything for it. So if you need assistance throughout the event or after the event, I am local. I'm happy to work with you guys on any of the stuff that we're working on here. I also have a few things that I'm going to be showing today, both in this session and a couple of the later sessions that just based on the amount of time that we have and everything, we can't go too deep into it, which is why we've got the day two stuff. So if there's anything that I cover around the materials here, especially later in the day, I'm going to be doing some stuff around XNA, so game development, those kind of things. Happy to work with you one-on-one or you know in groups on day two if you've got an idea or something that you want to do there. So I'm going to be starting off with kind of the introduction to Visual Studio 2010, kind of our developer tool for the Windows Phone. Again, my name is Kenny Spade. That's my email address right down there, kenny.spade@microsoft.com. So you can follow up with me through the email, and I'd be happy to talk with you there or in person. So today, in this first session, what I wanted to cover was kind of an introduction to the application platform, kind of show you what's inside of the Windows Phone SDK, show you Visual Studio 2010 by showing you some Silverlight. We've got a session a little bit later today with some XNA and some Silverlight and XNA. So I'll kind of show you where you can get access to those, but we'll go deep into those later in that session. Gonna show you the emulator, what you can do with that, including some tools like the debugger and the profiler, and then we'll show you how you can actually get stuff onto a device. So starting off with the application platform, you actually have a lot of things that you can do with the Windows Phone platform, and it integrates very nicely with some of the other services and the different devices that we have. So when you're working with the phone, you have two different choices as to how you can start presenting things onto the screen. One of those is Silverlight. Silverlight is our primary application development platform for the phone. So if you're going to be building a Windows Phone application, you should be thinking about Silverlight. XNA can also do some great application development things, but you're going to want to take a look at Silverlight first. If that doesn't meet your needs, then you're going to want to take a look at XNA. XNA comes from the game space. So you're going to want to look at that first for if you're doing any kind of game development. So what you're going to want to do here is start with some of the XNA things. It comes from a background on the Xbox. There's a bunch of resources for you to work with game development there. And that's what gives you the ability to do some of the 2D, 3D support. With Mango, starting with the release we just had on here, you have the ability to mix the two of those. And we'll be going into that a little bit later today. But that gives you some additional opportunities to do things like 3D in a Silverlight application or being able to take advantage of the UI and the controls that you have inside of Silverlight inside of your XNA game. So we've got a bunch of sensors, media, data, location, all kinds of stuff that are built into the platform that you can share across all of these. So you have that as an option for your development. We have tools that you can use inside of here. Visual Studio is your primary development tool. If you're doing some design on there, Expression Blend is amazing. If you haven't opened Expression Blend yet and started playing with some of the things you can do in there, you should definitely do so, because even developers who are kind of going through and saying, oh, no, I don't have a designer bone in my body, you're going to benefit from opening Expression Blend and seeing some of the things that you can do with it. Again, if you wanted to take a look at that in day two, we can show you some of the in-depth things around storyboarding, and there's some a little bit of that in some later sessions today as well. XNA Game Studio comes with the phone tools and actually gives you the ability to develop both for the phone and for the Xbox. Additionally, you can also do some Windows stuff in there as well. And it's really easy to switch between the different platforms. So you get the full version of XNA Game Studio. It's not limited to just the phone if you get just the phone developer tools. Then there's a bunch of samples, documentation, guides, community. We'll have some links for you a little bit later in the day that you can get access to those. But we do have a huge amount of resources available for you for development. You also have the ability to tie into some of our existing services. So if you're working with the phone, you have a great device with you because it's always connected. So you have far more data than you can store on the actual device itself. You can take a huge amount of data and processing power that's available in the cloud. So we'll have a little bit of resources on that as well as to how you can use things like our Azure toolkit for the Windows Phone to really take advantage of that cloud backend with the phone. We also have some things, if you're a game developer, you can tie into the Xbox Live services if you have a relationship with Microsoft, or if you have a game and can build that relationship with Microsoft. So there's a developer services thing that you can do. You can get Microsoft Studios to publish your game, and they can work with you on that. So If you have something you've been working on, I can show you how to get in touch with them and kind of talk to them about how that process works. And then we do have additional resources available as well. We'll go into those a little later. And then finally, the portal services. So when you're working with your Windows Phone application, we have a full portal available for you to be able to work with the registration, the actual billing, so some of the tie-ins to the ad SDK. So those are all available through our portal. So the SDK itself, you can download from create.msdn.com. The SDK includes Visual Studio 2010 Express, Expression Blend for Windows Phone, Windows Phone Developer Registration Tool, so you can actually register your device, be able to do sideloading of applications, and the Application Deployment Tool that allows you to deploy ZAP files directly to the device or to an emulator. You can also deploy code from Visual Studio or Expression Blend into either one of those scenarios. We'll go into that at the end of this talk. So Visual Studio, that's the IDE for development, and Expression Blend is more on the designer side. So Silverlight, I mentioned that it was used for building applications. So that's the primary use around this. You can also do some games with it, depending on the type of game that you have and the type of interaction. It might actually be better suited to here, but it's primarily around applications. It was originally developed for the web for kind of the rich internet application scenario, and we brought it onto the phone when we realized that it was a great fit. Inside of there, each page, basically it kind of has the same page concept as just the website. Each one of them has a front end, which is the .xaml. XAML is a kind of an XML variant that marks up your application. And then it has a code behind file, the xaml.cs, or if you're using VB, xaml.vb. It gives you an event-driven model, so you can be able to respond to things like click events or other things coming up inside of your application. And you use the URI stack to be able to navigate forward and back. So let's go ahead and see how you can create a quick Silverlight application and some of the things that you get in here. I'm just going to start Visual Studio and create a new project. And inside of here, we have some different options. I'm running the Visual Studio Ultimate Edition. If you already have an existing version of Visual Studio 2010, the phone tools will integrate into it. If you don't have a copy of Visual Studio already installed, it will install as a standalone application with the Express tools. So for the stuff that we're doing today, you can do in either the Express Edition or any of the additional versions. I have an Ultimate installed because I like some of the additional features that it gives you, but they're not required by any means to be able to actually create an application for the Windows Phone. So down here, we've got Silverlight for Windows Phone. We're going to choose that one. We're going to choose the default Windows Phone application. There's a number of other templates that you can choose from, but this is the one that I like. Kind of a basic thing on here, so we won't have anything to kind of get in our way of the description. Gives you a default name here, and I'm going to create a directory and create that solution here. I hit OK. And right here, it's going to pop up a thing that says which version of the Windows Phone OS. So on here, you have two options. You have OS 7.0 or 7.1. The developer tools for 7.1 are the ones that are targeting Mango. So if you want to have it get some of the additional support for things we're going to be talking about later today, like fast application switching, you're going to want to use the 7.1. So let's go ahead and choose that right here. Hit OK. And it'll create a new project for me. So it creates a single project. If I go over here to the solution, creates a solution for it, creates the project inside of there, and a number of different files inside of here. So let's take a look at what files we get. First of all, we get this app XAML, and here's the matching code behind file for it. That is the application level markup and code behind. So you can do some things in there, like if you want to handle some of the application-wide events, you can put them into here. You can also create templates. So if you want to do styling across your entire application, you can drop them in here. Your main page, so the first page that's going to load, is called main page. And you've got the code behind for that as well. So that's what I'm showing right over here. So if I zoom this out a little bit, you can see you get the full kind of what you see is what you get type of editor. And the corresponding markup to it is right over here. So let's go ahead and collapse this down a little bit so we can see it a little bit better. So this is the markup. It's a XML variant called XAML, the Extensible Application Markup Language. Very similar. It's actually uses the same type of markup as you would see inside of a web Silverlight application or a WPF application. So if you've done any of those, you should be very familiar with this. And you can see we've got basically the layout route. We have a grid inside of here with a stack panel inside of it. And if I jump back over to this side, that's creating this master grid over here. The stack panel controls these items inside of it. And if I select any one of these, it'll take me to the corresponding location inside of my code. So it's easy to jump between the two of them and to be able to actually create stuff inside of here. So I'll come back to this in a second, but let's take a look at a couple of the other things in here. So we've got this application icon and this background. They're both PNG files. Those are the icons that you're going to see inside of the actual phone itself. So when you install this onto your phone, you have those either in the full list of applications or on that start page. So these are the default images that you're going to see on there before you implement your live tiles, which you should absolutely do. But it's going to start with this, and then as soon as the user says, yes, I would like to use your live tiles, those will replace that default application or the default image on that pinned screen. The one on the list of applications, that's always going to stay the same. And then finally, we have this splash screen image. It's just a JPEG. This is the screen that comes up when you first launch your application. You're going to see this. You should absolutely change this as well, because if you spend hours and hours and hours building a wonderful application and you start with this as the first thing that people see, the first impression is going to be, oh, they didn't spend very long on this. So one of the first things that you should do is get an appropriate image here. And even if it's just like a gradient so that it's not this, it's still better than this. So let's go ahead and close these guys back down. So that's the basic layout of what we've got inside of here. So I'll go back into the code, and I'll show you how just you can take something from here, drag and drop, bring a button onto the page, and it creates the code behind for it. So here's a button, content equals button, height equals 72. You can control all of these through the properties settings right on this side. So here's the button that I have selected. You can change any of these properties here, and it will update the code. You can also add events to it here. And it also has IntelliSense inside of here, so if I wanted to add a click event onto here, it'll come up on here. I can say click, hit tab to do the complete, tab again. It'll create the event handler to it, and I can navigate to my event handler, which is created in the code behind file. So this is the .cs file behind that. And what I want to do is just a simple hello world. If I jump over back to here, I have this page name right here, and this is called page title. So all I want to do is say page title dot text is equal to hello world. And I'll go ahead and run that. What that'll do is it'll load up the Windows Phone emulator. You can keep this between sessions, so if you finish debugging, you don't have to close the editor. In fact, I recommend you don't, because it takes a little while to load this up. It's loading the same ROM that you have on the phone itself, so you're actually going to get the same experience that you would have on a device, minus some of the actual pieces of hardware, of course. But you do have support for things like multi-touch. You have support for some emulated accelerometer and location things that I'll be showing in a little bit. But basically, you get kind of a Chrome version of this. You get a fake phone around the phone here. And I have my application, page name, and when I click on this button, it says Hello World. So pretty easy to add additional elements onto it. You can add that UI. You can tie the events into it. You can add the code. And just as you would expect if you've done anything inside of there before, works like you would want it to. If I notice here, it's actually running. I hit the back button. It's going to close the application. So I'll stop debugging. And I'll keep this around so that I don't have to continually load that every time. It'll push to that from either of the tools, either Visual Studio or Expression Blend. So you can use it between sessions. So I've got this, that's basically kind of the idea of the Silverlight application side. So let's see what we have on here. The next side that we have is XNA. So based on the amount of time that we have, we'll go ahead and cover most of this in the XNA session later on this afternoon. But very briefly, XNA is for 2D and 3D games. It came from the Xbox side, so you can actually cross-target XNA to deploy to a Xbox 360, a Windows Phone, or a Windows PC. And that actually gives you a lot of advantage when you're doing the code, because you share the code directly. You can actually have a single project that just chooses, based on the compile type, what types of resources you want to bring in and the type of input that you're using, either using the compile time directives or just being able to support multiple different platforms and only choosing what you deploy to. We worked as hard as possible to make sure that there would be some direct follow-over through it. So, for example, I'll show you a little bit later, the back button on the phone itself maps to the back button on the first player's gamepad. So you don't even have to change the code there. It just works straight across. And there's things like the graphics manager that allow you to not care about what type of graphics card you have in the machine that you're working with. It'll just work across any one of them. So there's two projects inside of there, one with code, one with content. And we'll go into that deeper a little bit later. So as well as the game loop, and I will do the demos as well. So for this one as well, we've got the Silverlight plus XNA. That's also covered in the XNA session a little bit later, so interest of time, let's go ahead and just jump straight to some of the things that you can do with the emulator. So the emulator doesn't have the full experience. It's running the same ROM that you have inside of there, but you're missing things like the marketplace. You're missing some of the Zune playback capabilities inside of there. Essentially what you get, and if I jump over to the emulator here, I can show you. You get Internet Explorer, so you can start playing with that. It gives you the ability to access the web and everything. If you go over here, here's the installed applications. I can change some settings, so that's really useful if you want to change the actual, between the light and dark theme, or change the highlight colors to see how your application works between there. But essentially, it gives you just enough to be able to test your application. Everything else on there, you have to deploy through your own Zaps. And if you close the emulator and bring it back up, it actually refreshes everything from the start. So if you have any installed applications, if those applications have some of the actual isolated storage saved files, so if there's things saved into the drive, those will be lost as well. So you want to make sure that you have all of those as testable within a single environment here without closing the emulator between sessions. We also have a full set of tools over here that I'll be showing in a second. But you can bring over some additional tools to be able to do some emulation for things that we don't have hardware for, because, for example, my laptop doesn't have an accelerometer. So you have to be able to emulate some stuff like that. Okay, so let's bring this back up. You do have the Internet Explorer 9 browser. It does have HTML5 support in it as of Mango, so you'll be able to use that to test the scenarios there. And you do have a control as well inside of Silverlight where you can bring over a web browser control, and that control also supports HTML5. So you can see how that works inside of there. You can do things like place calls from within the emulator, but it gives you a fake network, so you can't actually call people from there, but you can see what that experience is like. It also has some preloaded images and some things that you can use to try out the content playback from within your own phone, within your own application. You can load a couple of those things as well through your application, but it doesn't give you the full experience. So additionally, with some of the hardware things that you have on devices that we don't have in the emulator, you'll want to get a device to be able to actually test out your application in full. And I mentioned earlier, it does support multiple touch points if you have a multi-touch monitor. So if you don't, essentially you use the mouse as a touch point and it acts as the first touch point. So you can do a lot of stuff inside of there. A lot of the applications that I've seen, you actually would never need to test them on a device itself. You can do everything on the device, on the emulator inside of there, but especially if you're doing some things where it requires fine precision for touching a certain element inside of there, you'll want to try it out on a device just to see if your elements are too small, if it's too difficult to actually be able to interact with it. So that is a great benefit of having either having a device of your own or being local here where you can arrange with one of us to either come in and work with us on some of the devices that we have or to arrange for something on kind of a little bit longer term basis. So we do have a camera simulation, location simulation, accelerometer simulation, and you can do screen capture as of the final version of the tools for Mango. So that's something that we added. If you had one of the betas, you probably didn't have it. It's there now. So make sure you update to the latest version of the tools. And that's really useful because if you're going to put your application up onto the marketplace, you want to have a lot of screenshots on there to make sure that people know what they're going to be downloading before they download it so that they will want to download it. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of those features inside of the Windows Phone emulator. So the first thing that I'm going to do on here is just bring up the emulator and show a couple of the different scenarios. And I'll do that by just opening Internet Explorer. I'm hoping that my network connection is working here. It was just a couple of minutes ago. Great. All right, so that's coming up here. What we want to do is we want to try out some things like, let's bring up a website here. So first thing that we've got on here, we have an on-screen keyboard. So you might notice that you have a physical keyboard right in front of you on your laptop, but it doesn't work by default. And that's basically so that you get the true experience of having to type everything out on top of here. But there are phones with physical keyboards, so in order to toggle that, you just hit the page up button. That keyboard goes away, and you'll notice up at the top here it says ENU, and that shows that you've got this all set up. And I'm going to type in IE test drive. It'll do a search for me on that one. There we go. Yeah, I like location. And so this is the search integration. I'll go ahead and open up the Internet Explorer test drive. And we can see some of the things that we have inside of here. So here's some HTML5 demos. One thing that I noticed earlier is you can do rotation, you can do the orientation and everything inside of the device itself. But if you have the keyboard turned on, it will not be listening for the rotation events. So first thing you do is page up again to, or page down rather, while you're inside of here. Now I've got the soft keyboard back, it'll handle the rotation. So there we go. And it'll rotate over to here. And you can kind of notice that you know, the entire interface resized itself for you. And that's not just inside of some of those applications. If I bring up this phone app, that one will also support orientation by changing a single setting inside of my XAML. Inside of my code side XAML. Here we go. Supported orientations is portrait. You can do this inside of your application if you'd like. If you want to be able to support both, you can say portrait or landscape. Give it a default orientation there. Let's rebuild this. And while it was locked in portrait there, now it goes over to landscape. So some of the controls are built so that you can do that automatically. You don't get some of the beautiful animations that you get by default with some of the other things. They just pop over to it. But you can build those very easily, especially if you're using Expression Blend. All right, so let's go back over to my browser. So I've showed some of the different things you can do inside of the keyboard and such. So there's also some other things that you can do if you're working with, you know, for example, a larger screen or a smaller screen. You can just make it so that it'll resize to here. You can zoom to any one of these levels. So let's say 33%, make it really tiny. You can bring up these additional tools. We've got things like the accelerometer, location, screenshot. We'll show a little bit later. Location, for example, gives you a map. You can drop push pins, and now that's where the phone thinks that it is. So we'll go into these much more deeply. Here's a screenshot, so you can do that. You can capture a screenshot, and I need to actually pop this up here. There we go. Take a screenshot, and we can pull that into it, and we can take a bunch of different screenshots, save them all out, so that we can use those later. So again, let's resize this a little bit. And then these we'll go into a little bit. Okay. Drop back out of here. So the next thing that we wanted to show was kind of the photo capabilities on here. So let me bring up a project for that. So this is PhotoSnap. Essentially, it's an application that just allows you to take a picture. If I bring this up and run this, it'll use that same, same copy of the emulator. And it gives me a couple of buttons here so that I can do a take a picture or choose a picture. If I do take a picture, it's going to give me this nice camera emulation system where essentially what I've got is, you know, not a whole bunch. It will give me something that shows that it's working with it. So if I take a picture, this little black box is going to rotate around the thing. So if I say retake and I take another picture, now it's over here. So it will actually give you that back, but it's primarily just to see, is this working or not? You'll want an actual device to be able to do the real thing, to be able to take those pictures. So let's say accept, and that brings this back, so now I have that picture. I can also choose a picture from my device, so there's some of the things that are preloaded onto it. So I can choose each one of these, and it'll bring that back, so it shows how to use the different choosers inside of it. Okay, and I should be able to bump this up a little bit, make it a little easier to see. 66, yeah, there we go. So that's the PhotoSnap application. Next one down here. This one is location. So let's bring that one up. And so this one is just giving me a latitude and longitude, and it will automatically update as we go through. So if I go over to location and kind of choose the different location here, I am in live mode right now, so wherever I go, this will update. So let's see if I want to go to Sunnyvale. There we go. And we're somewhere around here. So it'll update those into that. You can have it also save these points that you've loaded. And if I bring that up, let's see. It just does it as an XML file. I open that up, and I now have the different points that I had saved that I can have fire through these. And if I hit play, it'll just go through each of the points at the interval that I have specified here. These are really easy to create. So if I just open this up, it's just a latitude and longitude inside of an XML file. So if you want to programmatically create those to be able to test some things out, very easy to do that for you. Okay, next thing on here we're going to bring up is on the desktop, this one, the accelerometer. And the same thing, so this is a really useful thing. I've got some examples that I can show you, especially tomorrow, around game development to do this, and then we will be doing a little bit with this later on today. So if I bring up that, here's my orientation. I've got this where I've got my accelerometer. I can choose the different orientations here. So if I choose, for example, landscape flat, that gives me the value here. I just grab this, and I can move it around, and it gives me the items here. We'll go into how this works a little bit later. About the X, Y, Z, but essentially it is a vector that represents gravity. We also have this recorded data, just like we did with the location, and I can play back a shake, and it shows you what you've got there. So you're able to create those as well. Okay, back over to here. So another great feature that we've got inside of the phone tools that have been around for a while with Visual Studio is the debugging functionality that they have in it. So with Visual Studio, you have the ability to drop in things like breakpoints, be able to stop code as it's executing, inspect the items inside of it, and be able to actually change your in-memory items while you're doing active running. So we have the ability to kind of step through as each one of the items goes through, and this really makes it easier to figure out where problems are coming into your applications. So let's take a look at that. And then we also have a profile that I'll show you, so you can see where your memory and processing hangups are taking inside of your phone application to be able to improve it, because instead of making your application as optimized as possible, you want to look for where the actual problems are and focus your effort on those. So let me go ahead and jump into that. I'll just open a debugging solution here. There's a problem in this one. Let's see if we can catch it. It's a pretty simple application so that we can focus on just the actual tools themselves rather than what the thing is doing here. So let's just run it, figure it out, and we'll take it from there. So here's the, I have an adding machine. So I go into here. I'm going to say 2 plus 2 equals, and you'll notice there's actually a thing right here where the button's kind of hidden. We'll talk about that a little later. But if I click on equals, I get 4. Looks like I've got a good adding machine here. So let's change this again. I'm going to say 3 plus 2 equals 6. So there's something wrong here. So let's take a look at the actual application while I'm still running it. Let's move this aside so I can see a little bit better. And I've got my adding machine. Here's my calculate result function. So inside of here, okay, I've got a float, I've got a result, I've got a text box. All right, so let's go ahead and say, when I'm about to put the thing up on here, we'll inspect it. So I go back over to here, and nothing's happened yet because I haven't clicked this button, so it hasn't tried to calculate it. As soon as I hit the equals button, it drops into here, so I can actually go through and inspect these values. All right, so V1 is 3, V2 is also 3, and the result is 6, which makes sense. So where's the bug? First number, V1. All right, so V1 equals float.parse, first number textbox.txt, looks good. Second number, okay, so let's go ahead and do that. So in order to actually change this, we do need to stop debugging. We can make the change here, and I'll say second number, perfect. Let's run that. All right, my test case was 3 plus 2, and not 24, 2 equals. So we come back to here. V1 is now 3, V2 is 2, and result is 5. Let's go ahead and remove the breakpoint, hit run. Perfect. So now it's working again. So some other things that you can do inside of here, let's put that breakpoint back, hit equals. Here's result. I'll go ahead and change that to 5,000, hit run. And What did I do wrong there? Try that again. Equals results text box dot text equals real dot string. Result is 5. This should work. Let's check results again. Yeah. Now I run it. Now I look. Perfect. All right. I don't know what I did the first time, but that works. All right. So you can edit things in memory. All right. So that's the debugging side of things, and we'll go into that a little bit further as well. And the last demo that I've got for you right here is the profiler. So this is an augmented reality solution that I've been working on. So if we want to take a look at that tomorrow, glad to show it to you. Let's open this up. Essentially what we've got is we have a bunch of math. So it's a pretty good one to do some debugging on. So I'm going to go to debug. And one of the things that you might notice if you've got some of the versions other than the Windows Phone Express is you have the start performance analysis right here. And then you also have the start Windows Phone performance analysis. This is the one that you want to choose. So we'll choose that one. Execution or memory, let's go ahead and just choose execution. Hit launch application. And it's going to bring that up. Oh, I'm set to device, so it's telling me that. Bring that back up. This actually works perfectly well for the device and the emulator. So whatever you've got it connected to, you're going to have a USB connection between the two of them, and you can do debugging on device without a problem. All right, so motion is not supported on this guy, but here's my camera. It's moving around, so that's the camera emulation that you've got there. So let's go ahead and as soon as we've collected just a little bit of data, hit back. And inside of here, it's going to actually calculate that. Why didn't that calculate that? There we go. Okay, stop profiling. Calculating, parsing, analyzing, perfect. So if I bring this out, you can see that we actually have the CPU usage as it goes through here, so it spikes right around here when it starts using the camera. And then we've got some garbage collection down here happening. Not a lot of memory usage or here, so it's primarily around the CPU that we were working with. So that is how you would do that. And you can kind of see that it's going to collect a bunch of information as you're going through it, so you can see approximately when stuff actually brought that back, and you can dive down deeper into it. So that was that demo. So in order to get from development to device, what you're going to do is essentially to get it into the marketplace, you're going to start with an application that you're going to create a zap file out of. A zap is essentially a zip file that has all of your application stuff inside of it. So that all goes into a single file, and you can deploy that to either a device or an emulator. Your device has to be developer unlocked to be able to deploy there. Emulator does fine. You'll take that zap and you will test everything out. You'll submit it into the App Hub. They'll do some testing on it there, and if it passes, that will become it'll be signed and everything, go through the certification, go through the marketplace, and then the consumer can pick it up on their phone. So in order to developer unlock a device, you do need an account on App Hub. So you'll need to create a developer account there. You'll use your credentials on that account to be able to unlock a device. A standard developer account can unlock up to 3 devices at one time. If you lose one of those phones, like if you give those away, you have the ability to relock that one and unlock a different device, so it's 3 simultaneous unlocks. And students have the ability to actually get an App Hub account for free, but they do have a couple of things. For example, they have 1 device that they can unlock. So it's free, so you get that. So to go there, you'll go over to create.msdn.com to get started, and we'll have a lot of information about that as we go on. Finally, the deploying applications to a device thing, you do have to have the Zune software installed on your machine. That's how it knows which device you're actually connecting with. It also includes all of the drivers for the phones to be able to communicate with them. So you plug in your phone into your computer, it brings up Zune, you can communicate between the two of them. For advanced scenarios where you're doing some more stuff with the media player, there are some additional tools. There's a tool called WP Connect. We can go into that later, but for most of this, you're going to be using Zune, and you're just going to do exactly what I showed you on the emulator. You just choose from that drop-down emulator or device. You choose device, hit run, and you're good. So in summary, Visual Studio brings together all of the code and assets that you have on there. So what you'll want to do is just start with either Visual Studio or Expression Blend, depending on what you want to kind of work with some of the code or the design first. You can easily switch between the two of them, which we'll show later. You get the emulator, which has a lot of these same capabilities as the device itself, minus a few of the pieces of hardware, some of which it is covered by the emulation. You can do screenshots. It's a lot easier to get the screenshots off of the emulator than it would have been to kind of create those otherwise. So that's the best way to create those and push those onto the marketplace. And then the developer tools have a lot of resources around debugging and the profiling side. So you'll want to take a look at those as you're developing your application to make sure that it's as good as it can be. Cool. So that is the Visual Studio part of it. So up next is Matt Harrington, but we are taking a 15-minute break, right? Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so we've got 5 minutes, so if there's any questions, happy to take them. Yes? Okay, so the question was kind of a prompt for some of the tools on CodePlex. So we will be going into a few of the different toolkits that we've got up on there, but there is a Silverlight toolkit for Windows Phone is one of them. There is a Azure toolkit for Windows Phone is another. We have a large number of tools that are released through CodePlex, which is kind of a code sharing site that we have. And it's their first party tools. They're developed by the actual team. You can get access to those, and those are some of the ones where if you weren't necessarily have everything that you need as far as the UI and such on the base set of tools, you can just add those into your existing project, be able to use those, and if they find that those are actual tools that become kind of indispensable, a lot of times those tools end up making it into the final version of the device itself. But they're kept kind of separate so that we can do separate update cycles with them and make sure that they match the needs of the developer. So there's a lot of them up there on CodePlex. We've got some links on that that we're definitely doing towards the end of the day. You should also be receiving a card that is kind of the Get Started card. And it's got some links on it. I think they're on each one of the seats. And the links on the back of those, they've got some resources where they will point you towards some of the different CodePlex projects that we maintain. Oh, that's right. And we also have a lot of. Oh, really? So you got a card that gives you some free tools from Telerik. That's a huge collection of tools as well. So you want to take a look at that for sure. It's some other. Some other resources that you can include inside of there.
Cool. Any other questions?
I see one over here. What was that now? To unlock the phone?
I'm going to cover that in the last session of the day, so we'll cover it. It's really easy.
Yeah.
So there was two questions that I'll cover at the end of the day when we talk about marketplace and monetization. The first question was, how do you unlock the phone? Answer is really easy. I'll cover that. The second question is, how many phones can you unlock? And probably follow-up questions are, how many apps can you put on the phone that's unlocked and all that stuff? In the last session of the day, I'm covering monetization and marketplace. I'll cover those all then.
Temporary data on the device itself, on the emulator. Okay, so the question was, how do you handle temporary data on the emulator or the device? So essentially, if you're working with any of the in-memory stuff, that exists as long as your application is running. We're definitely going to be going into some of the things a little bit later today. There's a concept called tombstoning, which is when your application comes out of the primary running thing that we've got, you have to persist some of those into a more permanent state. So you have the ability to store those, and you do have permanent file store access on the device that is isolated from every other application on there. So you'll be able to work with those in later sessions. We'll cover that. But if you don't do any of those techniques, as soon as your application goes out of memory, you lose all of the memory that's inside of it. And on the emulator, if you actually get rid of the stuff that's inside of there, you're going to lose all of those. All right, so we're going to do a 15-minute break. So if you want to do any direct questions or anything, we are around, so you can ask us there. And we'll also be doing some stuff with WPDev hashtag on Twitter. So we'll be answering on there as well.
So we'll come back at 10:45. So
perfect. Thanks.